One of the things I firmly believe is that before you retire, you really need to think about, and I did not think about this at all, what is the purpose that you want to do for yourself, or have a purpose that you want to achieve for yourself? And that can be anything. It doesn't have to be writing a book. It could be bungee jumping, or, you know, having a bucket list, or putting together whatever makes you happy. The one thing that's been very difficult in the beginning after I retired, and most of us women go through this, is I was used to taking care of everybody else. I took care of course, my family first. I took care of my employees. I took care of my partners. And number one on my list, of course, was taking care of my clients. Nobody ever took care of me. And after I retired, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I didn't know what interests I had, because my interests had been wrapped up for the last 50 years in my work. So trying to think ahead for the purpose and how you want to live your life is just so incredibly important.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Sometimes in life, we've been so busy looking after everyone else that we don't spend any time on ourselves or looking to what our retired life may look like. Today's guest has transformed herself after a period of time in retirement. Becky Keeker is now a national speaker and author. Becky shares with her audiences her personal journey, which is a refreshing and humorous look at beginning a new life and facing the fear and anxiety associated with aging. Becky pulls the covers back, exposing why she was hiding in her pajamas, how her marriage survived, as well as other issues surrounding the life-changing milestone of retirement. Becky's story is that of a professional woman's journey to a financially and emotionally healthy retirement, something we would all like to attain. Hi, welcome back. It's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. And we have an exciting guest on our show today. It's Becky Keeker. How are you, Becky?
I'm wonderful. Good morning to everyone.
And can you tell us where in the world you are located?
I am in the United States, in Arizona, in a city called Tucson. And it is 71 degrees here today.
71 degrees. Have you always been there, or is that a place you relocated to?
After I retired, I moved 1,600 miles from the St. Louis, Missouri area to Tucson to permanently retire down here. I wanted to get away from the humidity and the winters and the snow and the ice and come to some place that was sunny all the time.
Are you happy with that move?
Yes, very much so. Took me a while to become happy with it, but now I am very happy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, because that's where I live all the time. So I live in a very tropical area. So I'm not sure what's going to happen when I finally decide to stop doing stuff. Last time we spoke, it's been a couple of years and you were launching your first book. So you haven't really been idle in retirement, have you, Becky?
No, I have not. Besides traveling around the United States and doing speaking engagements about the context of my book, I have been busy the last 2.5 years writing a kind of update to everything from the first book. Many people around the United States when I travel that had read my book wanted to know some particular questions. First of all, emotionally, how was I doing? And secondly, how is my marriage doing after retirement?
That's really interesting questions. Tell us more.
Well, you know, any time that you have a career, and whether you're married, you have a partner or a significant other, your career and your home life pretty much circles around everything that you do during the day. And when you get home at nighttime, your conversations and your questions could be, you know, centered around work. They could be centered around the kids, the soccer games, the baseball games, whatever you have to do. But you don't have a lot of hours in the day where you're together alone, and even most of the weekends. So after you retire, you're together 24/7, 7 days a week. And it's daunting trying to figure out how to decide which things you should do during the day as a couple and which things you should do as individuals. So one of the things that I propose in my new book is really learning how to find dual purposes in your life when you're together with a partner.
Dual purposes. That's an interesting phrase.
It was kind of interesting today before when I was getting ready to sit down before you today. I think most men, as they grow up, they become younger and not older. And I keep telling my husband, he's 5. He's not the age that he really is. And I'm just getting ready to get into the shower. And he says, "What are you doing? I thought you had a podcast today." I said, "I do have a podcast." He said, "Well, why are you getting in the shower?" I said, "To take a shower because I'm getting cleaned up before the podcast." He said, "They won't know whether you took a shower or not." I don't know what it is with men.
Oh, well, we always like to look our best, don't we? Because we can't always be hiding in our pajamas, which was the title of your first book.
Yes, it was. And I spent 2 years pretty much hiding in my pajamas and hiding from myself and hiding from how society deals with older people who have retired from careers. You know, all of us have had significant recognition and power in some instances in our careers. And after you retire and close that door, that doesn't really exist for you as a person anymore. And the person you were in your work life no longer exists in your private life, especially to the outside world. It's kind of funny that it almost seems like society believes somehow you failed if you've become older. So what I've done to adapt to that is to really adapt with a sense of humor about everything that you have to go through after you retire, because society is not prepared to deal with people that don't have full-time jobs and have conversations on a daily basis about what they do. It's a difficult time in life to figure it all out, but between writing the book, writing my second book, and traveling around the world, it has been so interesting to find other people, so many other people that are actually in the same situation that I was. And along the way, the one thing that I did discover that wasn't really particularly humorous, but I have made it humorous in my new book, in a chapter that's called Depression Made Me Do It, I was diagnosed with clinical depression. And, you know, another thing, when you're working, you don't have time for a lot of emotional roller coasters. And after you retire, we women have a lot of time to reflect. And sometimes that's not the best thing for everyone. And when I became sadder and sadder as I eased into retirement, I finally went to the doctor and he said, "You have clinical depression." And I was just so shocked that that actually was something that had happened to me. And he said, "You probably have had it for most of your adult life, but just didn't realize that you did have it." So that started me on another journey to say, I'm not going to load up with drugs. I'm going to figure out how to use humor to get me out of the doldrums that I was in. And basically what I decided was to stop doing the avoidance technique. And I pulled up my Spanx and I decided to man up and just face the world as it was going to be.
Well, that's an incredible story, and it must have been trying and a bit difficult for you. Probably a great shock as well.
It was a great shock, but I remember an old saying that John Wayne had years and years ago when he was still in the movies, and he said, being afraid is saddling up anyway. And so being in Arizona, I decided that I needed to saddle up and decided to learn how to be brave. And it took on many different forms in my life, even though in my career, I had been used to a lot of public speaking because I was speaking with Fortune 500 companies around the world. But it's different, you know, when you're speaking for yourself as a company spokesperson, as opposed to going out and dealing and sharing with your most innermost secrets with people that you've never met before. It's been challenging, but it has been so rewarding to listen to all kinds of stories from people all over the United States. And even all, I just got back from London and I was talking with some people over there about the book and some of the things that I have encountered. Just something very humorous that I encountered lately. These glasses that I have on are brand new. I've only had them a month. And when I went into the optical shop to pick out some new frames, the young lady that was waiting on me was showing me all of these, you know, dark, kind of very gloomy looking glasses. And I decided a long time ago, just because you're older, you don't have to look your age. You don't have to act your age. You can be whatever you want to be after you're retired. And I found this pair of glasses on a shelf all by themselves, and I just fell in love with them. And they're totally different than anything I've ever had. Well, as she was fitting them on me, the young lady said, you know, I need to just take a minute. I'll be right back. She came back with her manager, and her manager actually said to me, you know, ma'am, those glasses that you have picked are from the Young Professionals collection. So, just again, because you're old, I said, well, now I'm an old professional and I happen to really like these glasses and I'm going to purchase them. But it's just so silly how society looks at what you should or should not do when you retire.
That's absolutely amazing. And thanks very much for sharing that. And it's surprising how you can be typecast like that by younger people.
Well, you know, living in Arizona is sort of like living in Florida in the United States. It's packed with elderly people. And so I think that the younger people who service the older people don't really realize that the huge gap that there is between being 75 and being 25. And being, you know, the 25-year-olds live in a society that 75-year-olds really don't even understand. And just the funny things that we had yesterday when I was trying to learn how to Zoom. As silly as it is, I want to empower myself to be able to learn these things and to be good at them and not be 75 years old.
You're only as old as you feel. And that's the truth, isn't it? Because we could be this age and be very sedate and, you know, hang out at the house all the time and not have an outside life. You're living the life you create.
That is absolutely the truth. And one of the things I firmly believe is that before you retire, you really need to think about, and I did not think about this at all, what is the purpose that you want to do for yourself, or have a purpose that you want to achieve for yourself? And that can be anything. It doesn't have to be writing a book. It could be bungee jumping, or, you know, having a bucket list, or putting together whatever makes you happy. The one thing that's been very difficult in the beginning after I retired, and most of us women go through this, is I was used to taking care of everybody else. I took care of course, my family first. I took care of my employees. I took care of my partners. And number one on my list, of course, was taking care of my clients. Nobody ever took care of me. And after I retired, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I didn't know what interests I had because my interests had been wrapped up for the last 50 years in my work. So trying to think ahead for the purpose and how you want to live your life is just so incredibly important.
That is a very good message. You need to look ahead, and the people that have successful retirements are the ones that plan for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You mentioned that you're writing a new book. Are we allowed to hear a little bit more about it?
Well, as I said, one of the big chapters, I don't know if many of your listeners remember Anne of Green Gables series that was on, but one of the series episodes was called Romance is a Pesky Business. And so I titled one of my chapters that, because there are so many things about romance that really get in the way as you get older, because your life changes as you get older. And even though you love and respect the person that you're living with, romance for women, as you know, is usually a secondary conversation from romance with men. And so in the book, I really try to outline some of the things that my husband and I have been trying to do together to even out our life. For instance, he's a huge golfer, and I like to golf, but he's a very serious golfer. And when I go out, I want to look at the mountains and the sun and just have a good time and hit a few balls. But he wants to be Tiger Woods at 75. So that's not going to work for both of us. So one of the things that we decided to do was once a week, we would have a date night and we would alternate weeks. So before we left for London, we had one of our date nights and it was his night. And he decided that we were going to go to Home Depot, which was not a surprise. He had things to pick up. And the biggest thing he wanted to pick up at Home Depot was a comfort height toilet. And then we went to Chili's for dinner. Now, was it my thing that I wanted to do? No. But the agreement was that on the date night, we could each do what we wanted to do and the other couldn't complain about it. And it's surprising how much it has worked out and how fun it has been. I didn't particularly care about going to Home Depot and picking out a comfort height toilet, but that was on his list. And so that's what we did. And I find that by agreeing to do things differently like that has really helped our marriage a lot, because sometimes expectations from each other really gets lost in the translation of what you both want to do.
You're now a international speaker and author. Do you do anything else?
Just for fun, you mean?
Yes.
Well, one of the things that I have been learning a lot about is, as silly as it sounds, is how to meditate. I think that one of my daughters meditates all the time and she always seems so serene and happy. So I've been trying to learn how to do that. And I discussed that in my book. It started out where I had to do it with a large glass of wine alongside of me. And now I've progressed past that. But meditation is really a wonderful way to sit down and reflect about yourself and the world and calm yourself down. And that's been fun. And then also I've been building a new bucket list of my own, that things that I want to do that I am now empowered to do by myself, that I don't need to have my husband go along with me. And I think as a woman, learning how to give yourself permission is one of the most freeing things that you can ever do in the world.
We all need to have things to occupy ourselves, and having a little bit of me time, it seems to be the last thing that we allow for.
Correct.
How do you work with people, or how do people contact you? And are you going to tell us anything more about the new book and when we might be able to see it and buy it?
Well, I will get back in touch with you. My plan is that the book will be released in April of 2019, so not very shortly from now. It's right now in the editing process. And to get in touch with me, all they need to do is email me at bkuecker, K-U-E-K-E-R, @gmail.com. Or also feel free to call me at area code in the United States, area code 314-322-3807. And I would be happy to talk to you. Anytime anybody wants a Zoom meeting, now that Anne has instructed me in how to do this. I feel like I'm a real Zoomer and I can take care of it on my own and set up my own meeting. So Anne has empowered me to a whole new direction.
And your website?
My website is www.beckykeekerauthor.com.
And is there some parting words of wisdom you'd like to leave us with today?
The most, I think, important thing that I can say is learning how to take care of yourself and loving yourself first, which we've all been told to do for years and years and years, but never really do, is just so important. And one of the taglines of my new book is fearless and funny. Laughter makes all the difference. So if you can adopt a sense of humor about everything, I had some serious surgery earlier this year and was in a wheelchair for 7 months. And it took an enormous amount of strength to work through that. But the chapter in my book that I've written about it, that I've had a couple of people read, said, how did you get all of this hilarious material out of something that was so daunting? And the more I had to deal with, it almost got the funnier it got. And so learning how to deal with life, loving yourself, and being the person that you want to be, I encourage everybody else to do.
It's difficult for women, I think, in particular, to finally have that time when they put themselves first. So thanks very much for sharing those words of wisdom out there for all women. And I believe that the older we get, the wiser we get. So I don't know what's the problem with these young people. We may be not able to do what we used to do physically, but we certainly are a lot wiser in our minds.
I think that's really true. I did a presentation, a speaking engagement about 2 weeks ago before I left for London to a group of women, young women in their 30s that are in the financial industry. And I guess the biggest compliment that I got at the end of it when I was signing my book was one of the young women said to me, I thought you were going to be really stupid because you were old, but you were funny and I learned a lot from you.
Well, that's must have been a highlight for you. And it is. It's a message out there to engage with young people where we're not old and decrepit.
Well, you know, we grew up in an era where older people were revered, and that's not the case anymore. And so when somebody that's 35 says that to you, it was a pretty extraordinary compliment, and I took it. And it's good for young people to understand some of the things that we older people have been through and that we do have a lot to offer. And it's not preaching, it's sharing.
Sharing and mentoring too, I believe, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you once again for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's just been a pleasure to be with all of you again today, and have a very happy holiday and new year.
Thank you. Happy holiday to you as well.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.